Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today in the Gospels, we have two Gospels about gratitude and about forgiveness. The first one is the one for the 11th Sunday. It's about the unmerciful debtor. I want to explain it to you, and then how do we apply it to our lives? This really was the most important. It doesn't really matter if you understand something, if you don't do something about what you understand. So, this is one of the Kingdom of Heaven parables. And whenever you hear that in the Scriptures, it is about how you need to live. The kind of person you need to be, both to be in heaven and to obtain heaven. So, it's about how to live. It describes the Kingdom of Heaven and you think maybe it's in the hereafter. No, the Kingdom of Heaven parables are about how to live now. And he says the Kingdom of Heaven is likened unto something. And then he describes some parable. Sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short. But it's always about how we should live. Sometimes it is an example also about how we should not live. But it's always about how to obtain the kingdom by the way we live. So it says that the Kingdom of Heaven is likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. This king is God, and the servants are us. And one servant was called to judgment, and he owed 10,000 talents. Those 10,000 talents, a large sum of money, represent our sins. Or really, better than our sins, we should say our sinful condition, our sinful nature. Because the impure cannot be in the presence of purity. And our impure condition, the things that go on in our heart, our jealousies and our anger and our lust and all these things, make us incapable of being in God's presence without fear, without pain. So really, it's not so much our sins that keep us from God, because we can be forgiven of our sins. It is our sinful condition. And the purpose of the God-man, of Jesus Christ becoming man, is that we would be able to become purified. Out of our effort, our sweat, our desire, but also His grace, mixing together so that we would no longer be sinners. This is the goal of your life, brothers and sisters. You might consider it an unrealistic goal, but it is the goal of life, is to become purified, to become perfected, such that we can be in the presence of perfection. So these talents are representing our imperfection. And so, what does he do? He says to the servant, you're going to be judged, and he's going to have him bound and hand and foot and taken away. And the servant then, what does he do? He begs forgiveness. Oh, I skipped ahead a little bit. The Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children. Sounds very cruel, doesn't it? To be sold with his wife and children. Well, that actually was the way things were done in the ancient times. One arguably could say the ancient times were more cruel than our times, although you can find many examples in modern life where there is great cruelty. But the wife and the children represent something. The wife is our sinful condition, our passions, things that are not right, sort of our character. And from bad character comes actions that are bad. So the children are the results of our sinful inclinations, our passions. So whereas lust might be a wife, adultery or fornication would be a child. Whereas anger might be, or a tendency towards anger or irritability might be a wife. To hit someone or to speak out and slander them would be the child, the result of that sinful condition. So payment is to be made. The Scripture doesn't comment on this, But actually, there is no payment that can be made for our sins. There's nothing that we can give God that is equal to our sins. So this actually is a permanent selling, a permanent exile away from God. So what does he do? He falls down before his master, this sinful servant, and says, "Be patient with me and I will pay thee all." Now the scripture does not lie. He will pay all. Not that we can give God anything that he needs. Not that we can in any way do some work that would obliterate our sins. But the payment is us becoming good so that we can be in the presence of God who is good. Now God will help us with this payment. And we should not think of it as a payment in terms of exchanging money for goods, money for service. No, this is God helping us to become what we are predestined to be. To be in the presence of holiness and to be holy in that presence. So, the Lord has mercy on his servant and forgives him the debt completely. But what does the servant do? He goes out, he finds another servant that owes him just a very small amount of money. And of course, he throttles him and it takes him to the debtor's prison so that he can get everything possible for that debt. And of course, then people find out about it. The fellow servants are the angels at the time of the judgment. And the fellow servants know what this wicked servant has done. And they tell the Lord. So at the last judgment, this servant will have to make an account for why, when he was forgiven 10,000 talents, he did not forgive someone who owed a paltry sum to him. And he'll have no answer, and he'll be bound hand and foot and be cast out into the outer darkness. What that represents is useless repentance. In this life, you can have repentance. Repentance is to be sorry for what you've done and to do something about it. To try to change. Perhaps your change might be glacially slow, but if you are making an effort to change, then you are repenting. But in the next life, there will be no useful repentance. There will only be the first portion of repentance, and that is to be sorry. To be sorry, to be filled with shame, to be filled with anguish. You know that feeling when you've done something wrong? It's a very heavy feeling. It's a very painful feeling. To have that feeling never go away. That is what will happen to that servant who has not served his Lord. He'll be bound hand and foot, meaning he's incapable of doing anything about his sins. But he'll have the remembrance of his sins. Very crystal clear, by the way. Now, in this world, we forget our sins. Do we know what we did 15 years ago? It might have been very evil, but you know, we haven't thought about it for a while. But God remembers all, and the soul remembers all too. So when it comes time for the judgment, if we have no answer to the Lord, we'll remember everything. But we'll have no capability of doing anything about it. That's what the being bound hand and foot means. That's terrifying. It's really a terrifying image. So, what does this parable teach us? Well, at the end, the Lord says the sort of the outer meaning of the parable. Remember, I've told you that a parable always has one or more outer meanings and then many intricate inner meanings. And I've already told you some of them. The outer meaning or summary of this parable is that if we're forgiven, we should forgive others. And that in and of itself is powerful. But I think what is more powerful is to consider ourselves and know ourselves and have a sense of gratitude for what we were and what God has helped us become. And with this gratitude and mindfulness, we will be guarded against hatred to our brother. And we will love our brother and we will forgive him because we've been forgiven. It's one thing to say, forgive because you've been forgiven. It's another thing to feel deeply your own innate need and your own innate sinfulness, and that God has cleansed you of this and delivered you. Now, there are many virtues, of course, and there are some virtues that are higher than the others that really help us with our salvation. Other virtues are descended from these cardinal virtues. Of course, preeminently is love. If we love, then if we love as God loves, then everything follows. Perhaps we would say that following that is purity. Because the person who is pure follows God's law, which means that they will do all things that are pleasing to the Lord. Now, you and I, do we love very well? Not all the time, inconsistently. Perhaps with more respect to persons than we would like to admit. Are we pure? Sometimes. Sometimes we're not. Other virtues such as zeal can help you when you are struggling against sins. You're going to struggle no matter what. You're going to try hard no matter what, even when you're failing. Honesty about yourself. But these two scriptures, the other one also about the sinful woman who had anointed the Lord's feet, are about gratitude and mindfulness. Because the servant who had his debt relieved, as well as the woman, the sinful woman who had been forgiven of the Lord, they should have a sense of incredible gratitude that they have been delivered of their sins. And this gratitude is a very powerful force, brothers and sisters. All right, you have sins in your life. You have things you do that you shouldn't do. Things that you don't do that you should do. But if you have a sense of gratitude, the most important thing that you must do is you will love your brother. Because God loves you, despite your sins. And this sense of gratitude is wrapped up with a sense of knowing who you are. Knowing what you've done. Knowing what you deserve. And yet God loves you and has forgiven you. And this gratitude should be a motivator. Should be this inner force within you that reminds you, sometimes perhaps even mentally, really, where you cognitively think about it, but most of the time where it is just this sort of inner motivator that makes you forgive your brother. And brothers and sisters, we cannot be forgiven unless we forgive. So this is critical. And I think that just saying that we must forgive to be forgiven, that is something that we forget easily. But I think gratitude for what has been done for us can truly help us to remember and therefore to forgive. Really use anything you can to remember God and to remember what He has done for you. And then you will obey really his cardinal rule for us, that we forgive others. So may God help you. Look in this parable and see how much you resemble this unmerciful debtor. No, you're not throwing anybody into prison. But do you hold anything against anyone? Are you bitter about anything? Is there anyone that you don't forgive? Is there anyone you don't like? Is there anyone you say, well, you know, I forgive them, but I just don't want to be in the same room with them. Or I forgive them, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go visit them. If there is bitterness in your heart, there's lack of forgiveness. So, if you can fight this bitterness by just force of will, then you're very powerful indeed. For the most part, we must fight this kind of bitterness by remembering who we are. And this is what this parable is teaching. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Remember what God has done for you. And then you will be willing to forgive your brother. May God help you. Amen.